Words for Life is a recent talk by Pastor Jonathan Miller of Eastleigh Community Church in East Bentley, here in Melbourne.
I thought I'd try to do something a bit more light, a bit more fun today. And so I'm going to look at fruit. In particular, I'm going to look at fruit of the Holy Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. But when we're thinking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's a couple of questions that tend to come to mind. Firstly, what are they? What exactly are these things? What are the gifts? What are the fruit? And what's the difference between them? Well, luckily for us, the Bible has some answers. What a surprise, eh? And so we'll look at those. But before I actually look into the answers, there's a couple of things I want to say about this topic. Firstly, I want us to keep in mind that God doesn't just give us the fruit that we find in the fruit and in the list of fruit and the gifts that we find in the list of gifts. We find these in various parts of the Bible and they're great, but God gives us lots of other things as well. God gives us some practical things like rain and sunshine, for example. He makes us feel better, gives us peace and comfort. Gives us protection, it gives us encouragement, it gives us discipline when we need it. And of course, many, many more things. We won't necessarily find all of these things on the lists that we're going to look at over the next couple of weeks. But just because they're not on the lists doesn't mean that there aren't things that come from God. There aren't all kinds of good things that come from God. In fact, James told us this. This comes from James 1, 16 to 17. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Lots of things, lots of good things. In fact, every good thing is from God. See, as a rule, biblical lists are not necessarily exhaustive. As though that's it, that's all the fruit. And that's all the gifts that the Holy Spirit's got. That's it. That's as far as this duffel bag goes. And that's it. You can't hand out anything else. That's not it. These lists that we're going to look at fruit and of gifts, they are, at least in my opinion, they are indicative, not exhaustive. That is, they indicate the kinds of fruit that are available, the kinds of gifts that God hands out. So it's a promise today. We're going to look at the fruit. So we're looking at fruit. Now, fruit, by the way, has two meanings, both in English and in the original Greek. It can mean a healthy, nourishing treat that we pick off trees, but it can also mean offspring or the result of something, as in the fruit of all their hard work at training is that they made it onto the team this week. Yeah. Now, why does this matter? Why does it matter that it's got that other meaning? See, because fruit, unlike the gifts, fruit don't actually appear in an instant. They are the result of something. See, the Bible writers wrote to a mostly agrarian culture. That is, they're mainly farmers. These people knew about plants. So we could be learning about the herbs of the Spirit, right? Why not? Could have been herbs instead of fruit. But it's not. It's not on a purpose. The Bible writers chose fruit for a reason. See, herbs are a bit of a mixed bag. Some do have characteristics a lot like fruit, but many herbs are actually completely different in the way that they act. Some of them, they die each year and then they produce seeds. And the seeds need to germinate and they make a new crop, and that crop could be somewhere completely different to where the original plant was. And that's a great image. It's a great metaphor, but it's not the one that God wants when talking about fruit. Fruit trees take at least 3 or 4 years in general before they even start to produce fruit. And even then, it can be a couple of years beyond that before they actually start to yield a decent crop. But once they're planted, fruit trees can last a lifetime. Fruit trees can live over 100 years. The fruit doesn't start in the first season. That's okay. The fruit arrives over time as a result of cultivation, yeah, a result of watering, fertilizing, pruning. So, in other words, if you find yourself getting drenched from time to time, it's okay. That's God watering you. It's a good thing. If you find yourself with a whole lot of crap being thrown at you from time to time, it's okay. It's a good thing. That's God fertilizing. If you find that you're having to give up on things that you're a bit attached to, whether that's objects or people or habits perhaps, that's okay. It's a good thing. That's God pruning you. And this is an ongoing process. Fruit trees don't just start producing fruit and then we go, that's all good. We don't say, uh-huh, there's fruit on the tree, I'm just going to lay back, chill, relax, and I'm going to get a bump of crop season after season. It's not how it is. We know this. Fruit need continual watering. They need continual fertilizing. They need continual pruning. But the good news, we don't actually do this entirely on our own. God has actually promised to help us along the way. What a surprise, yeah? Let's have a look at Philippians 1:6. Yeah, we got it. So being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, if you're breathing, there's going to be room for improvement. But it's God that does it. How cool is that? God begins the work in you. God continues the work in you. Nice, right? We can just sit around and watch TV and God's going to do the work. Cool. We all know the answer to that is no, don't we? Okay, so the question that we need to know is, what's our role in this process? How do we make sure that we're getting plenty of water and fertilizer and pruning? Or let me rephrase it. How do we make sure that we're making the most out of the water and the fertilizer and the pruning that life actually throws at us? This is John 15:1-8. A good one, you've probably heard this before. I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it will be even more fruitful. I think we've just spoken about this stuff, haven't we? You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me. As I also remain in you, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I live in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So you want to bear much fruit? You want to be a healthy tree? And you want to avoid being withering up and being thrown into the fire? Stay connected to Jesus. That's our job. That's our role. That's our privilege. And indeed, that's our calling. Now, I just want to stop and look at one thing there. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. So, fruit is not for the fruit tree. Fruit tree doesn't bear fruit, show off. It doesn't bear fruit so that it's going to do well. The fruit trees bear fruit for everyone else apart from the fruit tree. So when God is doing this work in us, that we bear more fruit, we aren't necessarily the beneficiaries of this, but that's okay. You see, the thing is, it's not just okay, it's actually the plan. It's actually what God wants from us. It's what God expects from us. He expects us to be fruit for each other. He expects us to be helpful and useful for each other. And if we're not, what happens? Well, I'm going to make some use of you. What can I do? Let me at least warm the house with you. I'm going to burn you up. So it's important, this fruit stuff. It is God's expectation of us. And the consequences, well, we learned about the fire a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? So it's kind of an important topic. I know I said it was going to be fun, and it is pretty much fun, but there is an underlying importance behind all this fruit stuff. So, now that I've got your attention, from a practical point of view, how do we actually stay connected? Remember, that's our role in the whole story, is staying connected. How do we stay connected to Jesus? I reckon you already know, because I know I've preached on this in the past, but as a reminder, just in case, let's do it. How do you stay connected to Jesus? Read your Bible, yeah? Stay connected to his word. Pray. Stay connected to him in communication. And worship. Stay connected to his heart. So it's probably time now that we actually looked at the actual fruit. So let's do that. This is from Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. Forbearance, by the way, means patience. So patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So these characteristics that we just looked at, let me rephrase that. These are character traits. They are all character traits that actually make us more godly. These character traits make us more like Jesus. These are character traits that help us be salt and light. Spoke about this recently, haven't I? They are character traits that actually make us Christians more attractive to the world. They make us better ambassadors for God. Cool. So is that it? Is that all I need? Just this list? As I said, this list is not exhaustive. It's indicative. You know, there are other character traits that, when developed, will also make us more godly. Trustworthiness, for example. Truthfulness, for example. Impartiality. Hardworking. Just to name a few. There are lots of character traits that God wants us to have, that God wants to develop in us. If we stay connected to the vine, if we stay connected to Jesus, we can expect that God will develop more godly character traits in us. But let me say this. If that's not happening, if you don't feel like your character is being developed, if you're not becoming more godlike, you might need to work on your connection. I'm not going to go more into that. I'm just going to leave that with you. Now, most of the things on that list that I just read, they're pretty obvious. They kind of speak for themselves. But there is one that I think is worth looking at a bit closer. The second one on the list, joy. You see, you might imagine that joy is a gift from God, yeah? But it's not. It's a fruit. A list of fruits. And it's got actually nothing to do with our circumstances. Joy is an attitude. Do you remember this? This comes from James 1, 2 and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind. Because you know that testing of your faith produces perseverance. Thinking of trials as joy is not something that comes naturally or something that comes easily. But it is a character trait that God can develop in you. Quite frankly, I think that's super exciting. Abiding in God, spending time with him, will produce in us the kind of characters that can joyfully face trials. At this time, perhaps more than any other, I know for one, me, I need this. That's just one of the character traits that are the fruit of the Spirit that God develops in us. Now next week we're going to look at, well, 2 weeks' time, the gifts of the Spirit. I said that purposely, gifts, because it's not the same thing as the gift of the Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit occurs when a person receives the Spirit of God inside them. Now, when does that happen? We all want to know, right? When does that happen? Has it happened? Has it happened to me? Can I still expect it? Well, actually, the Bible's got various answers to exactly when this happens. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was the Old Testament came on certain people, was active in certain people at certain times, and then often he actually left them. But in the book of Acts, we learned that the Holy Spirit was actually released by Jesus on the day of Pentecost so that anyone and everyone actually had access to him, to have him living inside of them. So some people came to the apostles and they said, what do we do? And this is Peter's reply. This is Acts 2, 38 and 39. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." All right, repent, baptize. So that could be it. Once we've repented and baptized, maybe that's the point. But a little bit later in Acts, Peter is preaching at a bloke called Cornelius' house, and some people received the Holy Spirit simply by actually listening to his sermon. They didn't seem to repent, as far as we know. It certainly doesn't seem as though they were baptized, at least not in water, but they received the Holy Spirit. In another place, we read how some people received the Holy Spirit by having hands laid on them by Paul. But they were already believers, and they'd already been baptized in water. So it's not super, super, super clear. Popular doctrine, certainly at the moment, is that you receive the Holy Spirit the moment you believe in Jesus. This is what Ephesians says. This is pretty good. So this is Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. "You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise of Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance." So that's the moment of belief, and that's certainly in the Bible. What is very, very clear is that all Christians have the Holy Spirit living inside them. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, that means you're probably not actually a Christian. The Holy Spirit is actually the mark of a saved person. But I want to point out something else. The Holy Spirit, or rather, receiving the Holy Spirit is not the same thing as being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not the same thing as being full of the Holy Spirit. It's not the same thing even if just experiencing the Spirit. So you might go, "Well, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I've got the Spirit because I don't even know if I've had an experience." You don't have to have even had an experience of the Holy Spirit to have received him. That's not a super reliable indicator. It just says, the Bible just says, if you're a Christian, you've got the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's what you need to know. So you can be confident of that. If you're confident you're a Christian, if you're confident that you believe and you fit all the rest of the bill, be confident. Whether or not you've experienced the Holy Spirit, you do have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So I want to say something else about the Holy Spirit. It's important that we understand the Holy Spirit is a person with a personality. So do you know anyone who always does exactly the same thing every time? Or do you know anyone that treats everyone exactly the same all the time, with everything? And even if you did, would that actually be a good thing? Of course not, right? It's dangerous to put the Holy Spirit into a box. He is God. He will deal with each of his creations as he sees fit. But God knows all of us personally. He's able to deal with us perfectly, individually. And this is one of the reasons why we shouldn't see the lists of fruit or of gifts that we're going to look at in a couple of weeks as exhaustive. God can and will produce and will give to everyone whatever he sees fit. We have a good God. It's not a scary thing. It's an exciting thing. So if you say, well, there's some things on that list that I don't seem to have and I've got these other things, that's cool. That's the Holy Spirit directly in you, with you, working on you according to His good purposes to make you more God-like, to make you more Jesus-like, to give you the characteristics that He wants so that you can be a fruit-bearing tree for all around you. That's the plan, that's the purpose. But we're not all meant to be apple trees or orange trees. Some of us are pineapples. We're a bit prickly, but that's okay. Some of us are cherries. We're bright and shiny, but only kind of little, right? Some of us are watermelons. That might not be a tree, but still, it's their fruit. We're all different, and we're all needed in different ways. There's one last thing I want to say about the topic of fruit of the Spirit. I sometimes hear people say that Christianity is actually no longer relevant today. So the Bible was written a couple of thousand years ago on the other side of the world. It's mainly written to Israelite farmers. How could that be relevant for my complicated life here in this world today? The answer to that, I believe, is very much wrapped up in the Holy Spirit. Not only does the Holy Spirit speak directly to us, the Holy Spirit testifies directly to us inside of our spirits. He brings us wisdom. He brings us peace. He brings us guidance. He brings us truth. But he also works on our character. He waterlizes us. He fertilizes us. He prunes us. He refines us. He changes us to become more like God, to make us more like the creator of the universe. And seriously, what could be more relevant and needed today than that? Yes, okay, the books are fairly old, but the guy who wrote the books is still alive, and he's still talking to us every moment of every day. He's still working in us every moment of every day. That's good news. That's relevant. That's something worth sharing. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you live in us and that you work in us to shape us and to refine us so as to produce fruit, so as to produce godly character traits that make us better people according to your will. Lord, may our fruit bring sustenance to many. May it make us better ambassadors for you. Lord, make us strong oaks. Strong oaks of righteousness that bring shade, sustenance to many, improving not only our lives, but the lives of all around us. In Jesus' name, amen.